Today I want to talk about the voice behind you. And I've been hearing God this year really excitingly in my spirit. God has just been encouraging me on things that he's doing. He's up to something really good in the earth. He's up to something really good in our lives. Now, as I talk about the voice behind you, I'm going to take a couple little excerpts out of some prophetic words that I've given in the last few weeks. If you follow any of my blogs, my TED for You or TED for Leaders blogs, you'll see that I've been posting a number of prophecies. That's like thunder is rumbling because lightning has struck and I can't shut my mouth. So it seems like every week I release a prophetic word. I don't want to overuse that, but I just really believe that God is saying some things. And so recently I said that in this season you've been in, there's been a cry for justice. But my justice supersedes the justice of men, and I'm bringing you into a place of great grace, says God, great grace, where you will hear a voice behind you. Now, I'm not the only one who has discerned that this is a season of the justice of God. And if you look at 2020, no matter how you look at it, whether you look at it through those who are in the world or those who are in the church, those who are in any nation, 2020 has been a season where the cry for justice, people want justice, and everybody has a version of that, everybody has a perspective of it, but clearly there is a cry for justice. You know, the children of Israel, they were in the captivity of Egypt for 430 years. If you're in captivity for 430 years, that would have meant that you were never alive where there wasn't captivity. If you were existing alive at the time that at the end of that 430 years, there was no one living who really knew what freedom was. Yet they cried out for justice. So in reality, they really didn't know what justice was. There were some stories. But after you pass down stories for 430 years, there's really no perspective on what the story really is. So the only one who really knows the story is God. Because in 430 years' time, he's the same. He knew freedom before they went into captivity, and he knows what freedom is when they come out of captivity. But the Israelites didn't know what freedom was. I believe it's like that right now in the seasons of the earth. We hear a lot of cries for justice, but really we probably don't even have any idea what justice really is. So the only one who has a true perspective of what justice is God. Mm-hmm. Because he saw it before our cry was there. He saw it before our need was there, and he sees it beyond that. So 2020's cry for justice, God has heard. And I believe that the season has changed. I was in the kitchen this morning. I told my wife, I was standing in the kitchen and almost heard audibly. It actually shocked me. I was looking at my backyard and I just heard the season has changed. It was almost an audible voice. It whoa. Because I'm looking outside and I'm thinking, you know, it doesn't look like the season's changed. It looks like a lot of rain to me out there. It looks like, you know, and I don't want premature seasons. I don't want spring when it's not time for spring. But I was standing there and it was something more than the natural that just hit my spirit. The season has changed. And I believe that 2021 is the beginning of a season of God's justice. That God's justice is going to happen in the nations. Now, in John chapter 16, Jesus was talking to his disciples right before he was going to go and be crucified. Now, his disciples, his friends, had heard his words that gave his life to them. They followed him around for 3.5 years. In his ministry time as Jesus the Christ. And he's telling them that he's about to go. He's about to die. And surely they have some ideas of what that really should look like. He shouldn't go away. He should be bringing life. And he's speaking to them in ways that are hard to understand. He's speaking to them in mystery speech. And then he's telling them there's coming a time in verse 32 of John 16. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, now is, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. Now, they had just told him that we can finally hear. You're speaking to us plainly now. They thought he was speaking to them plainly. But then he says, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you'll be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone because the Father's with me. So they're saying, you're speaking to me clearly, you're speaking to me plainly. And then he says to them, well, you want to know the truth, you're about to scatter, you're about to deny me, you're about to hide from me. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. So in other words, their peace was not dependent upon them doing everything right. Their peace was dependent upon Jesus not changing. That Jesus, who knows the beginning and the end, he was not changing. The cross was not going to change him. The cross was going to be the power that changes us.
Come on.
What he was facing was not going to change him. He was love. He was life. He said, we get it now. You're speaking to us plainly. Well, yeah, the truth is you're about to scatter. You're about to face some things that are going to shake you. It's possible that in this season, you and I are facing some things that will shake us. Man, there's these prophecies that have gone out about the tsunami waves. You know, that's not a surfing wave. A tsunami is not a surfing wave. It's not vacation time if a tsunami comes. Which I do believe there is a tsunami. But the tsunami is meant to expose what has never been exposed before, to change what's never been changed before. And actually, after a tsunami, you really have to get busy rebuilding. And maybe you have to build in a new way. Maybe you have to build in a way that a tsunami can't destroy you. See, a tsunami wave is a wave that comes because somewhere there's a big earthquake. Somewhere there's a big split in the earth that caused there to be a swell of water that caused the sea to go inland. And at first it revealed what's in the sea, and then it comes inland. You think of a tsunami. A tsunami is not fun. You know, even when I heard the prophecies of tsunami years ago, I didn't go, oh, goody, goody. I'm so glad we're getting a tsunami. I'm in my spirit like, yeah. I believe this is God. But I don't always like what is God. But the end is better than I thought.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah, come on.
I don't always like what is God. But the end, if I could see the end at the beginning, I would like it.
Right.
And if when God brings something, if I do like it, it's because he's doped me up with anesthetics so bad I don't care.
Yeah.
he's gotten me drunk in the spirit, or he's got something, you know, he's like, okay, this is gonna be good. Let's give him the laughing gas, you know, we're gonna work on the teeth, or we're gonna do something that's gonna bring about change.
Yeah.
Change is never something that you really want. Unless you're in desperation, and then you have ideas what the change should be, and probably the real change is not what you really want. Proverbs says the poverty of the poor is their poverty. Yeah. Now, there's all kinds of poverty. Poverty is not just not having money. Poverty is having a wrong mindset.
Okay.
So if I have a wrong mindset on life, then the poverty of my mindset is my mindset.
Yeah.
My poverty mindset. So God wants to not change the circumstance. He wants to change my mindset.
That's right.
Because that's my poverty.
Yeah.
He wants to change us.
Yeah.
So he says to them, these things I spoke to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. I've overcome the world. Hey, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. So right now, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good courage. I've overcome the world. Now, what is tribulation? Tribulation is the pressure that manifests who you really are.
Yeah.
Tribulation is the pressure that reveals the diamond, that reveals the gem, that reveals the jewel. Tribulation is what proves you are real. Tribulation came against Jesus, and the grave could not hold him.
That's right.
Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the great joy of, okay, tribulation's coming. Hey, listen, there, you could go anywhere on the planet and there's various measures of tribulation. If we went to northern Nigeria right now, tribulation there means you could die. And many do. Tribulation for us could mean, you know, hey, we have to wear a face mask or whatever. But really, tribulation is simply in the world, there's going to be resistance to who you really are. Or we could say, Jesus says, in the world, there's going to be resistance to who I am in you. Look at a scripture in 1 John chapter 4. Now, when you're reading the scriptures, always remember, Holy Spirit is your teacher. Scripture is not. But scripture is the voice of God. And he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So he sounds the same today in his character, nature, way, power, authority that he did yesterday. But the Bible is not given to us so that we'll know what to do and know how to act. The Bible is given to us as a witness to the internal voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, okay, so we won't get confused with an external voice.
Very good. Very good.
Or we'll fall for any author.
Yeah.
Because you see, the reality is there's something greater than your Bible, and that is you becoming the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word became flesh. Why? So that flesh could become an expression of the Word, of their Father. The Word, Jesus didn't become an expression of the Bible. The Bible was an expression of Jesus. Jesus didn't become an expression of Torah law. Torah law was an expression of Jesus, an informational one. But Jesus is the substance one. He's love. The Torah tells you to love, but Jesus is love.
Amen.
So one is information concerning the one who is. One is truth, and the other is a word of truth. So the Bible is the word of truth. Okay,
come on.
It's called, when we got, I love the Bible. I'm a student of the Bible. I love the Bible. Why? Because it keeps me connected to the internal voice of God.
That's right.
So the more I know what the word of God, the written word of God says, the more I recognize that voice in me. But when I'm reading the Bible, I'm reading about stories. I'm reading about things that were real at a moment in that time. So in 1 John, beloved, now you could be the beloved, but when John wrote that letter, he wasn't talking to you. He was talking to people in his life that he felt it was in his world. This is my sphere. And because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, what he expressed became scripture, so it becomes relevant even to us. But he's talking to the body that he's in relationship with. He's writing a letter concerning the one that he has touched, that he has handled, that he has seen. And he's writing to people that he has touched, he has handled, and he has seen. Now, God wants to say the same things to us today that he said to the beloved in the time of John. He said, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So this is 2,000 years ago. He's writing to his friends. He said, don't believe every spirit. For many false prophets, many false voices that speak have gone out into the world. By this you know, so also us, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, do you see that word in your Bible that says come, has come? That's one Greek word. We add the word has in front of it because the tense of the word is has come, but we can't write every spirit that says Jesus came in the flesh. That's not accurate. Okay? So you have a Bible, you look at it, it says has come. Every spirit that says Jesus has come, it doesn't say every spirit that says Jesus came in the flesh. It says every spirit that has come. So to be accurate in English, we can't say came, because it's not a past tense word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a present and continuing, it's a happening and continuing to happen tense word.
That's right.
So how do we know that a spirit is from God? It says Jesus has come in the flesh. There's three that testify in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Spirit. And there's three that testify on the earth, the Word, the Spirit, and the blood. You know, the blood of the body of Christ is not the blood of the body of Ted, the old man. The blood of the flesh, the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. It does not say the life is in the blood. There's nowhere in your Bible that says the life is in the blood. It says the life of the flesh is in the blood. You research it. You find it. If you find it says the life, that the life is in the blood, it doesn't say that. It says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, God doesn't want you and I to live in the life of the flesh. Not now, not tomorrow.
That's right.
Nor in eternity.
That's right.
He wants you and I to live in the life of the Spirit. That's the life of being a human being.
Yes.
Without the life of the Spirit, you're a human wannabe.
Mm-hmm.
If you substitute the life of the Spirit with the life of religion, you're a human doo-doo.
Oh, no.
So everyone in the world who is still living by the life of the flesh, their heart is crying out because they're really a life wannabe. So Jesus poured out every drop of the life of the flesh so that you would no longer be a body of self.
Come on.
You would no longer be a body of flesh, but you would be a member of the body of Christ.
Very excellent.
So the life of the body of Christ is the Spirit. That is the blood of the body of Christ. It is the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowing, fear of the Lord. That's the blood that flows through the veins of the body of Christ. It's the testimony of Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Okay. And to be led by that Spirit is not the same as being told what to do.
Exactly.
To be led by that Spirit is knowing when you don't even know. Is hearing a voice behind you. Is knowing the path because it comes from inside of you. The life comes from inside of you. So test the spirits. The spirit that says Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. So any voice of God is going to quicken the life of Christ in you.
Oh, very good.
And you're going to know it's God because the evidence is going to be in your love for one another. That's right. First John says.
That's right.
Now, he says the evidence that Christ lives in you is the love of God that comes out of you. And we're in a season where the justice of God is going to prevail, and the justice of God is a justice of mercy and grace, where we will not look at the things that are wrong only, or maybe not even. God doesn't condone things that are wrong, but he has a greater justice than simply making it right. He wants to make it new, make it living, make it life. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So the spirit that says Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming. The pronoun you there is not you in this room. The pronoun you there is the people in John's life 2,000 years ago. Listen to what John said 2,000 years ago. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So if you're worried about Antichrist, Antichrist has been in the world ever since Christ showed up.
It's true.
Why? It's Antichrist. Now, which is more powerful, Christ or that which opposes Christ?
Christ.
Now, what's the purpose of Antichrist? To manifest Christ.
That's right.
The purpose of that which opposes Christ is tribulation. The purpose of tribulation, the purpose of that which opposes Christ is so that Christ in you will manifest.
Very good. Yes.
Now, it can be as simple as tomorrow you go to work, and you go into your workplace, and there's that which comes against you to try to attack your faith, to try to question you, and it comes usually in the form of flesh and blood. It's not really flesh and blood, it's packages. Maybe somebody with a wound in their heart, a wound toward God, and your presence with Christ in you agitates, irritates their wound, their bitter spot,
yeah.
And so they manifest on you. And why do they manifest on you? So that you can manifest on them. But manifest what? So that you can manifest Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's right.
The only purpose of Antichrist, any Antichrist, is to manifest Christ. And when Christ manifests, he eradicates death.
Yeah.
He changes darkness to light. He changes death to life.
Yes.
He changes bad to good. He changes wicked to kind.
Wow.
When he manifests, he changes your world. Now, a couple of things you can learn from Scripture is there was a day long time ago after the flood when God said, okay, let's give it a go now with a little bit of human law. You tried it with human conscience. That didn't work out too well. I've had to wash the situation a little bit. I flooded the earth. And so now go to it and repopulate this place. And humanity got busy with this. And it wasn't very long. You read it. It's in Genesis chapter 9, 10, Genesis 11. When you get to 11, it's only 11 chapters in the book. It's only 2 chapters after the flood. 9 concludes the flood, and then you got 10 and 11. By the time you come to 11, here's the idea that humanity has. Now, a lot of time has passed during that time. Nothing's written about it. But it says that humanity, they had the same speech and the same language, and they sought to build a tower that went up into heaven. You know, in other words, we could say they sought to get out of their present circumstance and into a heavenly one so that they wouldn't be scattered. They wanted to build a tower unto themselves. And God said, ooh, this isn't good. So what did he do? He confused them. He tore down their tower. He scattered them. He made it so they didn't understand one another anymore. And he scattered them across the face of the earth. There's even one tribe, their name literally means separated by a big body of water. I wonder where they ended up. So everybody got confused, which means everybody thinks different, everybody sounds different, everybody looks different, and God did it because he loves us.
True.
Because he knows the only thing that unites us is not having the same speech and the same language. It's having the same heart. It's having the same spirit.
Wonderful.
It's having Christ in us. And that doesn't take us to heaven only. It actually brings heaven into our world. That will bring heaven into my marriage. That will bring heaven into my family. That will bring heaven into the marketplace. That will bring heaven into my job. Does anybody have a job that's absolutely hell? Hey, they need heaven in that place.
That's right.
Anybody live in a city that's hell? They need heaven in that place.
That's right.
Now, God doesn't, heaven is an expanding place. Let me change your thinking on a couple of things. Old covenant and new covenant is different. Old covenant is a shadow of the good thing to come. New covenant is a living relationship with Christ in you.
Amen.
It's not a time in history, it's a place of relationship. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you a term that I often hear, but I'm going to tell you this is not a new covenant term. Remnant is not a new covenant term. That's an old covenant term. How's it work? The old covenant starts out pretty big and ends up tiny. The new covenant starts tiny and ends up huge. So I want to tell you right now that God doesn't have a remnant. God has an increasing glory. The completion of the old covenant was a remnant. Only some believed when Messiah came. But since Messiah came, the first century had 0.25% of the earth's population who believed in Christ. You got over 30% on the planet that believe in him in some measure right now. Not to mention the cloud of witness that keeps getting more.
Yeah.
I mean, if 2/3 never fell, 1/3 fell, it seems to me that that 1/3 has been getting made up for ever since. Because death is death and life is life.
That's right.
And life is increasing. So he who began, do you believe that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it?
Yes.
Is that remnant or glory?
Glory.
Yeah. Do you believe that if I had a coin of gold and a block of gold and they're both gold, would the test results be the same in a lab?
Yeah.
Should be. So whatever's true in the smallest coin is true in the biggest measure. Whatever's true in the biggest measure is true in the smallest measure. God is doing something really good.
Amen.
And it's because Christ is in us. Now, what time does this first service end?
11.
Okay, I got to make sure I don't overlap. Okay, no. So, the Antichrist is simply opposing Christ. Now, I'm going to give you some statements. I believe that we're in a season of great grace, a season of motivation that comes by God's presence. We're in a time to see Jesus like never before. A season to see Jesus as our treasure. The desire of the nations. The desire of Ted. The desire of you. A time for Jesus to rise up. This is a time for Jesus to rise up among the nations. To rise up among the people. To rise up in your life. So I prophesied this a couple of weeks ago. This is a day for my voice to be behind you, says God, and you will know the way, for I will make the way before you, for I am the voice of life that motivates you to move into the true justice hallways of destiny, says God. I've heard the cry of the nations. They've cried out for justice, and now you'll see it, but don't be distracted by the judgments of men. Let the judgments of my love prevail, for my word is true. It's gone forth. It's germinated. It will not fail, says the Spirit of the Lord. So God wants to give us this justice. He wants to give me more grace. Say it. God wants to give me more grace. He wants to be exalted in my life. He wants to be exalted in my life. He wants to exercise his justice in my life. He wants to exercise his mercy and his grace in my life. He wants me to be a person of God. He wants us to be the people of God with life-giving justice. He wants to be the motivation of my heart. He wants to be the motivation of our hearts. The voice behind us. In Revelation, it says, well, before I go to Revelation, let me read a verse out of Isaiah a moment. Isaiah 30 has been a text that God's had me in for weeks. If God has you in a place of scripture, don't let the scripture be God talking to you. Let God talk to you. And let the scripture be a foundation for what kind of thing is he saying to me right now. And so it's a good idea to look at what is the context of being said. In Isaiah 30, God says this to Israel through the prophet Isaiah, through the 10 tribes of the north. Well, let me explain that a moment. Israel was 12 tribes, but after Solomon proved to not listen to the wisdom of God that he wrote about being aware of the seductress, and then he fell for the seductress, had 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 in all, turned his heart, and they ended up, as a result of Solomon's action, Israel ended up offering their children to the god Molech in Gehinnom, which is the valley of Hinnom, the garbage dump outside of the city. So they sacrificed the future, which is where we get the word Gehenna. So really, a Gehenna is a place where the future is sacrificed. The future's gone. Whatever's true of heaven in this life is mega true in heaven beyond this life.
Right.
Whatever's true of hell in this life is mega true in hell beyond this life. So there is a heaven, there is a hell, and where you spend your time now is where you're going to spend your time for eternity.
True.
Yikes.
So you should spend your time in heaven. You should spend your time focused on heavenly things. I'm not talking about some place that's away from you. I'm talking about some place that exists inside of you.
Oh, come on. Wonderful.
Don't be disconnected from life. Because if you die dead, you stay dead. And there's all kinds of death. So whatever you do, die alive. Even if it's in suffering, die alive. Die awake. Even if you're asleep, die awake. Eternal life is to know God your Father, to know Jesus Christ the Son. Eternal life, if you know God your Father, Jesus Christ the Son, it doesn't matter whether you live or die, you have eternal life. Not just after you die, but right now, that's eternal life. Do you need a little life today? Do you need a little life this week? What if I told you you could have eternal life, not just life? You know, like the princess bride, you know, there's that degree. You could be dead, sort of dead, kind of dead, really dead. What if I told you you could be more than just kind of alive, sort of alive? You could be really alive, like eternally alive.
Amen.
I mean, you could be like live, live.
Come on.
This is Christ in you, live, live. Do you know who you are? I always like to add, do you know who you are, grasshopper? Do you know who you are? Do you know who's in you? Do you know who's in your life? Do you know what that means? Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Don't fear. In the world you'll have tribulation, but I've overcome the world. Greater is he who's in you than anything that's in the world. So, when Israel compromised, the kingdom was divided, and there were 10 tribes of the north, 2 tribes of the south. I think I've got a little bit of the north in me and a little bit of the south in me. Okay? Now, the north was the religious part. The 10 tribes of the north that were under Jeroboam, who was an Ephraimite, who compromised, who took the ways of the world and made those the ways of Israel. And it only accomplished religion. It didn't accomplish life. I think there's part of me that only can accomplish religion. I'll say it this way. I believe that I'm both a wolf and a sheep. So what do? I feed the sheep and I starve the wolf until the wolf is dead.
Come on. Yes.
Yeah.
What's the difference? One is meat to be eaten. The other eats meat. I've been known to bite. But I don't bite as often as I used to. If you don't bite, I've known a few sheep that growl.
Yeah. That's right.
So what do you do? Don't feed the growl. It's not your hunger. It's your deception. So The 10 tribes of the north were religious, and so Isaiah was a prophet to the north. He was a prophet to the religious part of me. The south, Judah and Benjamin, they had some revival every now and then, a little refreshing every now and then. That's where you had people like Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat, some people that had some life in them happened every now and then. Never happened in the north. That's the revival side of you. But then there's the religious side of you. Well, God's got a cure for the religious side of you. So Isaiah comes to the religious side, and he says in Isaiah 28, he says, you know who's going to learn now? Those who are just weaned from the breast. That's who's going to learn. You thought it was, I'm paraphrasing, but you thought it was foolishness to do it God's way. So I'll tell you, here's how it's going to work now. Unless you become like a little nursing baby, you're not going to be taught. For with stammering lips and another tongue, I'll speak to this people, and it'll be rest and refreshing for my people. Now, he was prophesying of something that would come like a spanking stick to the religion. It was the Assyrian army, spoke a different tongue. And that different tongue seemed foolish to the Israelites, but it was basically a discipline that says, hey, I want you to turn to me, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. And then when God got done with that spanking stick, you know what he did? He destroyed the stick. He destroyed the Assyrians after the Assyrians did what they do. Dogs bark, pigs oink, and Assyrians Assyrian. But they were allowed to come to the religious house as an overflowing scourge because God wanted them to be freed from religiosity, from foolishness. Paul says that he quotes those verses when he says tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. Did you know that I have two parts of me? I have a believer and an unbeliever. So tongues is a sign to my unbeliever. Not a sign to the I don't know what to believer. The sign to the unbeliever. It's meant to get rid of my unbelief. Because Paul quotes Isaiah 28 in the Syrian tongue. Tongues is a gift of the new covenant that keeps you stupid and keeps you childlike.
Yeah.
Now, tongues is not just that language that you speak. Tongues could be the mystery that's happening right now in 2021. What sounds foolish to you? If you were God, what would you do differently? Now, I've got news for you. God is doing exactly what needs to be done. So the thing that you just said you'd do differently, the thing that I just said that I would do differently, needs the foolishness of what God is doing so that I can get my focus right.
Very good.
Now, what's my focus? The prophet says this in Isaiah 30. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. My question is, what if you would? So the prophet says to the religious house, we'll say today, the prophetic voice says to the religious part of me that wants to have a justice that is the way of the world, a justice that's the way of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. So the part of me that says that, God says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. He knows I need to be saved. So returning and rest, I'm going to be saved. And in quietness and confidence, I'm going to find my strength. And then he says in verse 18 of chapter 30, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. Therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. This word wait, most of the time the word wait, like Isaiah 40, 31, those who wait on the Lord is in intertwining. This is almost like that, but it's an expectancy. It's not waiting for something to happen. It's a connection. It's an adherence to.
Ooh, good.
So those who keep, blessed are those who adhere to the Lord. Blessed are those who wait for the Lord. Blessed are those who adhere to the Lord. Let me read the verse using the word adhere. Therefore the Lord will adhere to you that he may be gracious to you. Therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who adhere to him. The Lord will wait for you. The Lord will adhere to you. God is doing something in our lives right now.
That's right.
He's adhering to us, and something really good is happening. And he's inviting us to adhere to him. Those who return and rest find the salvation in quietness and confidence. They find their strength. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not about end time events, but it will bring end times. How does it do it? Invite Jesus into your life, and that will end your old life.
That's right.
Ending your own life won't get Jesus in your life, but inviting Jesus into your life will end your old life, but then you'll find you got really life. You got life.
Yeah.
God life is greater than self life.
Amen.
Okay. Right. So a revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, can stand all on its own. It's in the place that is, that was, and will be. It was true at the time of the revelation given to John. It was true retroactively for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. A revelation of Jesus. You want to know what it is here and there? Here it is in Revelation chapter 1. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Whose day are you living in? Lord's Day is not Sunday, by the way. The Lord's Day is the place of light versus the place of darkness. The Lord's Day is eternal life versus seasons, times, days, nights. That'll get you tired. Days, nights. But if you could realize that you are children of the day.
That's right.
That you are children of the light.
Yeah.
You're not those who sleep. You're those who are awake. You're alive to God because God is alive in you.
That's right.
So I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Where are you right now? Are you living by the life of the flesh? Or are you living by the life of the Spirit? Are you waiting for God to tell you? Or is there a knowing rising up in you because you have Christ in you? So there's a waiting and adhering to him, an expectation. Because he wants to be gracious. He wants to be merciful. He wants to bless us. He wants us to come. He wants to give us salvation. He wants to give us strength. So I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. A trumpet is a prophetic voice. God speaks, life happens. The trumpet of God is God speaks, life happens. See, God doesn't end in an ending. He always ends in a greater more.
That's right.
Even the last trumpet is what? A greater more.
Yeah.
That's right.
The sound of the trumpet is a new season. The sound of the trumpet is a new day. The sound of the trumpet is life going to happen.
Yeah.
So I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard a voice behind me as the voice of a trumpet. Something's about to happen. Life's about to happen. So I turned, what? To see the voice. And having turned, I saw one like the Son of Man. What happens when you see Jesus? Grace comes at a revelation of Jesus. That's what Peter said. So right now, we're in a season where God wants us to know the voice that's behind us. In closing, I'll just say this. There's a verse that no doubt this church knows. Pastor Bryce has a wonderful, wonderful evangelistic grace on his life, and so he'll always appeal to you. Please ask Jesus into your heart. If there's anybody who's not done that, please do that. And if you know some people who haven't done that, please implore them to invite Jesus into their life. Because there is no life without Jesus. But with Jesus, life is more and more and more and more.
That's right.
And in that place where there is life, there's a verse in Romans 10 that we often use. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And we use that verse. But that verse is not really about being born again. It's about living life.
Yeah.
It's a quotation of Deuteronomy chapter 30. And Deuteronomy 30 is living in a land that's filled with giants, but reaping it as a land of milk and honey and provisions. Living in a land that says it's occupied by an enemy, but it's really a promised land that's meant to be a place of glory. And God says in Deuteronomy 30, don't say who will ascend into heaven or who will go across the abyss, who will go down across the sea, who will go down into the abyss, as Romans says. But what does it say? It says the word of God is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth.
Amen.
And then he says in that chapter, I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Let me make it easy. Choose life.
Yeah.
Now, the voice behind you is the voice that chooses life. It's a motivating voice. It's a voice of life. You're going to go out of here in moments here, or stick around for a second service and see if the guy says the same thing the second time. I don't know. But you're going to face your life, your world. And God says it's not some mystery. He is your salvation, and he is your strength in returning to him, turning to see the voice that's inside of you, turning to see Jesus in the center of your life. In returning and rest will be your salvation. You might find yourself at a dinner table with a bunch of confused relatives, and you need to be saved. You need some salvation. So you have to return to the Lord. Let Jesus be the center of your life. And in that circumstance, when you can act like those who want to spawn with you to fight, you can see a path before you that is blessing and cursing, that is life and death, and you decide to choose life. What is life? What will produce life? What will bring life? The voice behind you is the voice that chooses life, causes you to see Jesus. Grace happens. The justice system of God is a justice that always chooses life. When I was a teenager, when you're a teenager, you're like a believer. You get stupid. I remember I was 13. Guys, gals, you won't relate to this. This is the guy thing. I don't know. Maybe gals do this kind of thing too, but there was a grinder in the shop at the school. The grinder goes around really fast. And when I was like 13, I think, I decided the switch was off, and I decided to stop the grinder with my finger. Come on, guys. You know what I'm saying? Maybe nobody's stupid as me. But the thought was to put my finger in the grinder. I put my finger in the grinder. Well, which is harder, the grinder or the finger? So it took the end of the finger pretty good, right? But it was such a stupid moment, you don't want to tell anybody about the stupid moment. So you wrap it up with a paper towel, you get on the school bus, you ride for an hour in excruciating pain, and then you put alcohol on it when you get home so it doesn't get infected. Don't tell anybody. Because you were a stupid 13-year-old who put a finger in the grinder. Okay. Now, we do that kind of stuff all the time. So we should know that the grinder is not life. That's a stupid illustration. But you know what? Or we're going to end up being embarrassed by our stupid moment, put a paper towel on it, tell nobody, put alcohol on it so it doesn't get infected. But... So I'm going to pray for you. Pray for us.
Good word.
So I guess the religious part of me, God wants to get that off of me. He wants me to be dependent on him.
Yeah.
He just wants me to return. He wants me to come because he wants to give me grace. He wants to give me mercy. So, Lord, I know that you're in our lives. Jesus, you're in our hearts. You're the one that's standing in our lives. If you're standing, that means your authority is in us. You're greater than anything that's in my world, anything that's in my workplace, anything that's going on. You're greater than any corona situation, political situation, natural situation, friend situation, enemy situation, family situation. You're greater than any of that stuff. And what you want is you want me to see you standing in my life so that life can come out from me. Test the spirits, because the spirit that says Jesus has come in the flesh, in this flesh, is of God. And the fruit will be life. Life. Not just life for me, but life through me.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Bless us, Lord. Let us see it. Let us hear the voice behind us and choose the path of life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of time, so.